Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Mithai ki, Radhamada ki, Jai, Radhasimhita Bhagavan ki, Shukam Tattva ki, I hope and I'm
here.
Someone's just reminding me of this. The story when Sri Sri Radha Madhava made in Jaipur, and the Deela family went with them. And they saw Radha Madhava and they said, what beautiful deities. We'll take these deities. But the one day said, no, this is for Ishtar. No, we'll take them and you can make another. He said, no. He said, they're becoming soon collect this Radha Madhava. He said, look, if you give me those deities, I'll pay whatever it is plus extra lakh on top. That was in the 80s. He said, no, no, I can't. He said, okay, then you make me another set exactly the same. And he said, also, I cannot do that. I cannot make another set like this. This has been a very special set. So, we were speaking to Lord Ashwini yesterday. So, there's one. Attitude from South America. I think she's a disciple of the Nagrayu Maharaj. Anyway, she was during the Mayapur festival, Koponima festival, and she approached me and she said that I want to offer some mangoes to Lord Shingadev. I said, well, you want to get mangoes? That's wrong season. They come out in June. I said, you're probably getting Calcutta. So I said, well, do you want to get mangoes? And she said, well, I had a dream. And I was walking with Lord Srinidad. He was holding my hand and we were walking across the fields and we were talking. And at one point I asked him, how can I serve you? And he said, well, I like mangoes. You can bring me some mangoes. So therefore I said, I'm going to ask you. Anyway, later on, after some days later, she came back and she said, I've got mangoes. She bought lots of mangoes. Can you please offer to Lord Srinidad? With mangoes. And I said to the other pujaris that this aunty, she's so lucky, so fortunate. Lord Srinidad appeared in her dream, he held her hand, gave her instructions. She's so fortunate. And then she said, yeah, she said, actually there was more to the dream, but I didn't tell you at that time. My Guru Maharaj told me, don't say anything. She said, but now I can tell you. And she said that Lord Srinidad said to me that my pujari is very dear to me, and I'm going to take him back home back to cottage in 1 or 2 days. So she said, oh no, don't do that. We also like our pujari. So Lord Srinidad said, okay then, I'll take one of your leaders. And then, within a few days after that, he saw him as Srila Gaura-Govinda Maharaj. All of a sudden, very unexpectedly, he left his body. Appearance there, but Siddhanta Saraswati. In the evening, he was discussing Jagannath Katra and Jagannath's relationship with Mahaprabhu and the whole mood of separation, and then he just felt some kind of uneasiness. And a few moments later, he left his body. And the Srinidad took him back home, back to Bhagavad. Srinidad Bhagavan,
Ki Jai.
Satanada Mata, their name is Atmavitya Mata. Her husband is Gokulananda Das from Prabhupada Sankhya. And she came one day, she was paying her obeisance before Lord Nrisingadev. And she was praying that Lord Nrisingadev never have a problem with my eyes. And since I was a young child, I've had this problem. If you could take away the root of the problem from my eyes, then I could do much more service, better service for you. So then she heard a voice and said, that you go tell the pujaris to give me back my eyes. And what had happened? There's one devotee, he used to collect kind of semi-precious stones, and he had these cat's eyes. He said, can you offer these to Lord Nrisingadev for his eyes? They were, you know, kind of big brown eyes, called cat's eyes. And okay, so we tried them on, they looked really nice, really sweet, and very, very attractive. So we kept the eyes on, these cat's eyes. And so this Mataji heard this, she thought, what am I, was it just imagination, or did I hear it, was it? And again the voice comes, he said, don't worry about your eyes, you go tell the Pujari to give me back my eyes. And she was saying, well, I don't know what to do. And then again the voice said, just go up in the Pujari room, tell the Pujari to give back my eyes. So she came up to the Pujari room, I was inside, and then she explained to me what had happened. And I said, okay, we'll look into it. Because everybody has, so many people have different dreams and things like that. You can't act on every dream or thought. Sometimes you have deity nightmares. The deity is gone or something like that. So you can't act on every dream. Right? So, anyway, she was a sensible lady, wasn't she? Speculation or imagination. She was quite serious at that view. Anyway, but after some days I was sitting in front of Lord Nrisingadev just meditating, then I got kind of a dictation, I guess, from Lord Nrisingadev. And he was like, he was saying, you know, I'm Ugra Nrisingadev, I'm angry, angry Lord Nrisingadev. And you just give me these beautiful doe-like eyes. It's not my mood, I want my other eyes back, my angry eyes, my kind of red eyes. Oh, that's what it was. So then we changed them, and then we put the cat's eyes up. And so the next morning, Mangalarati, this Mataji never came to Mangalarati, but her daughter came. So she went back home and she said, you know what happened, Mom? Lord Nrisingadev put his old eyes back. And she said, yeah, you know what happened here? And I thought my eyesight has come much better now. I can see much, much better than Srinidhi Bhagavan Ki Jai. There was another boy, he's from Bengal, he ran away to Bombay. Become a Bollywood star or something like that. Anyway, his parents were in complete anxiety looking for him. But he got to Bombay and he couldn't get him. He ended up working in a tea store, cleaning tea cups or something like that, to get some money. And the tea shop was right opposite his from Juhu Temple. So somehow or another he went to the temple and the devotees preached to him. And so he joined the temple. And that his parents were searching for him. And so if they find me, they're going to take me home again and go let me come to the temple. So then his parents, they got some message from some of their relatives. They said they went to Sri Dham Mayapur and they saw that her son was there in Mayapur, Sri Dham Mayapur. So she immediately came to Mayapur and she went to all the authority people and asked, this person is staying here. And everybody said, no, Nobody knows him. he's not here. So, anyway, she stayed a couple of days looking all over the place. She couldn't find him. And she was seeing the Sandhyarki. Lord Nrsingadev Sandhyarki was going on. And everyone was chanting and dancing. And she said, everyone is so happy here. Only me, I'm so sad. I remember I came here a long time ago, and I was very happy, but now my son is gone. I'm so sad. And if my son would come back again, and I could be happy again. The moment she said that, her son just walked in between her and Lord Nrsingadev and stopped there. My son is there. She said, what can I do? You have to know the Shingon that's taken care of. You have to stay here. I can't take you home from the Shingon. After that experience, I can't take you home. So then he stayed with me. I go to the Shingon. We were talking about Srila Prabhupada and how he and his two pet hates was people who snore at night and people who are the mosquitoes who come out at night and disturb his translation work. So just to show how much Srila Prabhupada put into his purpose, how much he actually cared for us, and how much he really wanted to establish the true message of the Srimad Bhagavatam for our benefit. He was talking to his managers one time, and he said that the devotees are staying in the building. At that time, we only had the Lotus Building there, and so the devotees were all sleeping in that building. And he said at night time they leave the doors open because it's very hot and they want some air to come through. And then sometimes the wind comes and it slams the doors together. And it makes such a sound, he said. He said, when I'm translating these books and I'm writing my Bhaktivedanta's purports, he said, I have few books. He has Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sridhar Swami's commentaries. A few commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. He reads all the tickets from the different acharyas. And then the essence of that he combines into Bhaktivedanta purport. So Srila Prabhupada said, he says, sometimes I'm waiting for one word just to convey that meaning, the essence of what the acharyas are saying. I just want one word to really express that. He says, and sometimes I'm waiting 3 days just for that one word. And therefore when I hear these doors slamming, it cracks my heart. We can see the compassion of Srila Prabhupada that he see how accurately he wanted and how he wanted to present this message as it is. He just was prepared to wait 3 days just to get one word to express the proper feeling and meaning of the acharyas. And this was all for us. Prabhupada, he knows Krishna, but these books are for us. And so, what a sacrifice. Who else could do that? Srila Prabhupada said, I'm managing the worldwide movement, and I'm getting calls all the time, letters all the time from people, what about this, you've got one temple, so many things you have to manage, and so what to speak of the leader of the worldwide confederation of temples and things like that. And so Prabhupada was had to answer all these letters and coming in to go to wherever he was, they would always come up, telling what's going on in the temple and what they needed and things like that. So Prabhupada had to hear all this. And he said that I could not give any time for translating my books because all day people are bothering me. So He said, I prayed to Krishna, that Krishna, please arrange it so that I don't have to sleep at night. He said, Krishna fulfilled my desires, and now I don't have to sleep. So this is Srila Prabhupada. He actually sacrificed his sleep so we could get his transcendental books. But what other yogi is like that? It sacrifices his sleep for others. Such a sacrifice problem. Oh, he would take a couple of hours rest in the evening. And he'd get up about 11 or something. Then he would just translate the whole night, he would just go through it. You have a dictaphone machine, you speak into it and you click it on and off every time he speaks. And like this Prabhupada, he translated so many books. Another devotee told me, he said when he was in Vrindavan, he used to get up very early in the morning also. So he would go on, I think it was on the Gurukul roof or someone's roof. He could see into Prabhupada's rooms in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada would be translating at night when he was sleeping. And he said the devotee was up there chanting in the room. But for a few hours he was there. And he said, but Prabhupada, he would look at the book and he would speak a little bit. And then, okay, it seemed really, really slow what he was doing. He said, but by the end of the night, when, you know, he found out from the transcribers and everything, it worked out for stacks and stacks of printed literature. But I'm there. They got it from the dictaphone machine and put it on paper. It was pages and pages. It looked like Prabhupada was, just a couple of pages or something. He was so it looked so slow. That's what he said to him, that this was probably so methodical and so fixed that he just so steady that, just turned these books out, one up, another one up, another one up, another one. Like in the morning we're chanting here, that japa tape, Prabhupada chants very fast. It's very difficult to hear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, it just doesn't stop. I got to stop for a breather sometimes, but it's so forceful. But like that, he got things done. Prabhupada was very forceful. Although he seemed to be very kind of graceful and casual about everything, unhurried, but the amount of what he produced in those few short years, what to speak of all the books and all the temples and schools. And simultaneously dealing with all the problems that were within his society. I asked you, Papa, can Lord Chaitanya wear a peacock feather? Yeah. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, why not? He is Krishna. I said, sometimes some Gaudiya Math people are saying, criticizing that Lord Chaitanya doesn't have a peacock. And Prabhupada was very disappointed when he heard that. He didn't say anything. He just hung his head down. He was very disappointed. I kind of took it to mean, why don't they see what I'm doing, why they're picking, you shouldn't do this. Look what I'm doing, I'm picking the malechas and yamanas and making them into Krishna's devotees. See what I'm doing, not the little. Anyway. It became kind of controversial in this concept. But there is Shastric reverence also. Auranga Mahima by Advaita Acharya, he's giving a description, meditational description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the beauty of him and the way he dresses. And mentions there, he has a peacock feather in his head, and another one, a Ridhiya. He has a peacock feather, a jaunty cockle Ridhiya. So, there's another reference also in Gauranga's Nitya Leela. After the morning program, And he goes out with his friends. And I'm hurrying up. And they go towards Gangadas's pod. And they say all the peacocks are there, hearing all the sound.
Oh, no.
All white cows and everything are there. So Mahaprabhu gets into it like he's Gosh Leela. Because this corresponds to the time when Krishna leaves underground in the morning and goes in Krishna leaves and goes out with his boyfriends and all the cows. Same time. So Gauranga he sees all the cows and people, he gets into that mood, so, and he starts calling the cows, Shamai, Dulai, Haime, Gangai, Munai. And they all the devotees, what's happening, you know? All Mahaprabhu has gone into this mood of a cowboy, so they all take on that same sentiment and become cowboys. To assist Mahaprabhu, and they start picking up sticks and twiddling, you know, like the cowboys do. Hey, hey, hey. And if another Prabhu has an imitation buffalo horn, let's go off to go down, hey. And they're all off head in the cow. But in that description also, it mentions Mahaprabhu, he also has a peacock feather in his head. So this evidence from Guru Sadhava and Shastra. Also, Prabhupada asked Malati Mataji one time. And he said, why don't you tell him that's not a peacock feather? I think she must have been dressing the deities. And she said, oh, he should have a peacock feather from her. He said, yes. He said, what about Lord Nityananda? He said, sometimes he may have a Gauranga, he should always have a peacock feather. So, the idea is that if you put a peacock feather on his head, then it's going to interfere with his mood, because he's in the mood of a devotee, he's not in the mood of a Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood fluctuates, sometimes he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the idea is that deity worship is pancharachaki. Mm-hmm. When you talk about mood, that you get into Bhagavad Gita, you know, spontaneous. When you mix the two, then you get these contradictions. That's why it gets a bit contradictory sometimes. Because you're mixing with Bhava Bhakti, with Vedi Bhakti. That kind of thing. But the deity in the temple is observed according to the rules of the Vedi Bhakti, or pancharachaki Vedi. And I think that the main reason Prabhupada allowed that to happen, because every time she went around the world, they had Lord kind of peacock feather. I think the main reason was to show that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because even in India, like Bengali and Rishon and the Rajabhasis, they know Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but outside of that, South India, they think, well, he was some great saint or something, they don't know he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I think in that mode to establish the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Krishna, that Prabhupada allowed that people can, and something that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in practically all of these temples, he established Radha Krishna Gauranga together. For this purpose, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanya, he is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Radha and Krishna, so he established them together on most of his Gaudiya Math temples. They have Gauranga and Radha and Krishna. I think in the same mood that Prabhupada was preaching to show this point that Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Krishna himself, that he allowed the peacock feathers to be there. It becomes easier for the pujaris also to because we are worshipping him as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you bring mood into it, then you know, like Gauranga is standing on the same level as Padre Krishna. If he's a bhakta, he should be actually standing down with the Karan Parah. And most people I ask, different temples and in Vrindavan also. I said, what about Tulsi Leaf? You put Tulsi Leaf on Lord Chaitanya's feet. Yeah. Everybody does that. Yes, we do that. Yes, that's kind of contradictory also. They don't put the big rock there, but they put Tulsi Leaf on the feet, which means he's Vishnu Tattva. I asked Vishwama Goswami, a writer in my temple, I said, do you offer peacock feathers to Lord Chaitanya? No. We don't offer Brahman thread also. Because Krishna got his Brahman thread when he went on a tour. I said, do you offer Tulsi? He said, yes. I said, well, isn't that indicative that he's Vishnu Tattva? You offer Tulsi? He said, yes, but they're only small. Anyway, we have Prabhupada's approval and the evidence from Guru Sadhu Sastra. So, there was one instance, I thought this was the hand of Lord Nrsimhadev was there. And the Sandhyarchi was flying on, I was sitting at the back of the temple. And the Sandhyarchi was going on and on, and I thought, you know, I'm usually not sitting, I should get away from my, you belong somewhere else, you know. I'm usually not there at that time, I have other service to do, but I somehow or another I postponing, postponing. So okay, then I got up. The Sandhyarchi, then the Sandhyarchi just finished right at that time. Otherwise it's so loud there, the kirtan, you can't hear anything. But it stopped exactly the, you know, the time I started walking, it stopped, the kirtan stopped, and then you chanted the prayer to one, so it wasn't noisy anymore. And I just got past Lord Nrsimhadev temple, and the way of jolly, you know, the wall would be jolly with holes and everything. So, as I got there, and I heard this kind of groaning, moaning sound. It's coming from through the wall. If the kirtan was going on, I wouldn't have heard it at all. It sounds like someone was groaning. So I went round and had a look, and the devotee was laying there. He had fallen off the roof. At that time we had this, I think we built the conch building, and we hadn't made a railing or anything then. And it was dark, and somehow or another he fell off the roof. It was quite bad condition, it was quite high. And I felt Lord Nrsimhadev's hand with him. I wasn't supposed to be sitting there for so long. And the moment I left, the kirtan stopped and I could hear, otherwise I wouldn't have put him in. Yeah, who knows how long. So I couldn't feel helping me, because it was right near Lord Nrsimhadev where he fell down. Lord Nrsimhadev made that arrangement. I had another experience. I finished my rounds. It's quite late. It's maybe 11, maybe 12 o'clock. I finished my rounds in the temple. And I just sit just behind, above the temple. And then I went to went to sleep, and I just laid down, and I was hearing this kirtan going on. My danga, we used to have 24-hour kirtan, but this one devotee was there, new bhakti, he would play kartal all the time. And I was hearing these drumming sounds. Prabhupada said, at night you shouldn't play the mridangas if you have night kirtan. It's just boom, boom, it's not good to sleep. It's one of the deepest to sleep. So I thought maybe the new bhakta is playing a drum. I thought maybe it's the kirtan drum from another village or something. Anyway, I got out of bed and I went downstairs and I got to the door and there's no sound coming from it. So I went back again. I think I went to the temple, but I went back because there was no sound coming. Again, I laid down. Again, that redundant, and I thought, sounds exactly like it's coming from the temple. So this time I went down and I opened the door into the temple, and the other side of the door was a gate, and there was one man who was there, a thief, and he was soaring, he was soaring the padlock off the door. I guess he had waited till I went on, but he was surprised as I was to see him. But I just couldn't help feeling of Lord Nrisimha there, like the presence of Lord Nrisimha. And the feet ran away very quickly. But I thought that the presence of Lord Nrisimha there at that time. I had one pastime with Radha Madhava. And small round of money. And we make it the bhoga offering and we offer feasts. Prabhupada said, we should offer a feast to the deity that night. In Mayapur, specifically he said. Anyway, we have like four sabjis, puri, different types of sweets, and hot milk. And the intention is boiling hot milk and we put another cup for a cooling cup if you want to cool it down. So, I was making the offering, and then I saw that the pujari who made the plate, the cook who made, he forgot to put the cooling cup. I thought, well, it's so hot. Anyway, it was a bit getting late, and I apologize, you know, please accept the offer, forgot the cup. And I came and sat in front of the deities, like here, outside the curtain, and I was chanting the Gayatri mantras and things. And then when I finished, I was thinking that, you know, that milk is really, really hot because it comes out boiling and there was no cup. So I hope Krishna doesn't burn his fingers or his lips. Exactly at that time, there was some sound from the deity room, like clunky sound. I thought, what's that? Then when I went in to do the arti, I saw the milk had been spilled all around the plate. Another time was Govardhan Puja. I think it was the first time we observed Govardhan Puja. So we built a big mountain, rice and halva and things like that. And it was quite exciting. Then we were distributing prasad and all the workers were coming. They were mostly from Mayapur workmen were there because the construction was going on. They were mostly Muslim. Workers, they're all coming in and they were kneeling down before the garage and we were getting nice prasad and lore and things like that. Anyway, it was very, very exciting. We were circumambulating with kirtan, we were going round and round. And then from the deities I was watching, there's all these kind of multicolored lights were kind of spiraling out and they're just filling the whole deity room. I thought maybe I'm imagining it. And my brother came past. I said, look, can you see what I'm seeing? And he was like, oh wow. I said, all these spiraling lights. I guess Krishna was happy with the festive mood then. Anyway, I never saw that again, but it was a strange phenomenon. When Lord Nrisimhadev came, Panchatattva also came. They were made in South India in Kumbakonam. So when they were had to leave that workshop there, they were so big they couldn't get out the door, the doorway. So they had to break the doors down. So You most probably saw that video of the Panchatattva and the installation and everything. And Radhanand Maharaj is also speaking on that. And he was speaking because it was such a phenomenon that when he came, we met him at the Jog Theatre, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We had the Kirtan party, the band, and everyone was coming out and greeting it. The Panchatattva, their presence was so strongly being manifested. Everybody was feeling this kind of ecstatic ecstasy that's coming from just being in the presence of Panchatattva. And at that time, they're just lying on the back of the flatbed truck with the tarpaulin. You couldn't even see anything. But it was such an ecstatic feeling then. That they were coming, and everybody was experienced, even little kids. And Harishori's daughter, what's her name? Rasarani Nathadina, sorry. Prabhupada Dari, he wrote Prabhupada Dari. His daughter, Rasarani, she said, Mommy, I felt something I've never ever felt before in my life with these deities. So even the children were experiencing this. So in that video film where Radhanand Maharaj is speaking, this is, today we have a slight experience that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it speaks about how Gaur Nithai came. When Krishna came, he certainly brought the storehouse of love of God with him, but it kept locked. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nithyananda came, they broke open the locks and they distributed the storehouse of love of God to anyone and everyone. And Radhanand Maharaj was saying, today we've had a little experience of this. Like everybody, anyone was there for that installation? Oh, you were there. That was, it's an undeniable feeling. I mean, it wasn't just one time, it's when they was coming during the whole installation and it went on for days and everybody was, it was so overwhelming. It was like Gaur Nithai is saying, you know, you've heard about our mercy, you've read about our mercy, you've discussed it, now you can feel it, here it is, and it's just like emanating this wonderful feeling to show, you know, here we are, there's no denying it, you can feel this, we're here. Radhanand mentioned that we felt a little bit of that, how they broke open the storehouse of love of God as we experienced. And factually, that happened. In Kumbhakarnam, when they were made, they couldn't get out of the factory, so they had to break open the doors of the factory to get in. And when they come to Mayapur, also they couldn't get in the front doors. They had to break open the doors. So this is really significant. We thought we had to break open the feeling was that they were really manifesting their presence so strongly. It was a really unforgettable experience. And when Lord Nrisimhadev was finally finished at deity, the sapati, he was in his shed, so the devotee said, we're going to take Lord Nrisimhadev. He said, no, I've got to attend a wedding this weekend, so on Monday you can take. That same night, the sapati called him and he said, come and take your Lord Nrisimhadev. He said, there was a kind of a storm and electric, and the lightning struck the shed and the whole thing burst into flames. And then your Lord Nrisimhadev is angry. He said, it's okay, but he's standing there smoldering and the pile of ashes around him. He wants to go quickly, please come and take him immediately. Make our houses down also. So then he came to Mayapur, and they put the truck with sand, and they put him in the sand, so he doesn't move. But the truck driver is saying, never had such a successful drive, because when they go through different states and things like that, and districts, everybody wants a bit of a little cold fee or something like that. They said, okay, when you got there, they said, look, here's... This Lord Nrisimhadev, oh please go quickly. They said, we have experienced that we don't get so much hassle, but when we go, please go. And very quickly. And also we have the manifestation of Lord Jagannath in Srimantadvipa, known locally as Rajapur. Rajapur means the village of the kings. That place was the kings used to live there. King Lakshman Sen, Bala Sen, Chankazi was the king, he lived there. But all the Hindu kings were used to live in that area, but then the Mughal invaders came and they ruled, and they committed many atrocities against the deities. So then all the Hindu kings left that place. But the place is still known as Rajapur, so I guess Jagannath still maintaining that he's the king there. That place is not different than Jagannath Puri. It describes in the Navadvipa Mahatmya. You get the Chankazi Samadhi. Those of you who have been there, you must know Chankazi Samadhi is still there. So that corresponds to Mathura in Krishna Leela. Because Chankazi is King Kamsa in Krishna Leela. So he's Krishna's uncle. Comes with Krishna's uncle. And Shankazi is also Mahaprabhu's village uncle. Shankazi had an intimate relationship with Nilamba Chakrabarti Thakur, the father of Satchimata. And also he knew Jagannath Mishra once. But he was like a village uncle, like an uncle. So they had, Krishna and Mahaprabhu had the same relationship with Kazi as Krishna had with Kamsa. The difference is that Kamsa was killed. And Chankazi was given bhakti. This is the difference between Krishna's incarnation and Mahaprabhu's incarnation. Krishna kills the demons, but here, Varanga gives them prema. Difference of Mayapur and Vrindavan. So anyway, that place is Mathura. Nityananda Prabhu tells you, this place is Mathura. If you have the vision, you can see the gates here and crossings and palaces and everything. Just beyond that, then you come into Jagannath Puri, where Jagannath temple is. That place is not different from Puri. And Nityananda Prabhu said that sometimes Jagannath is manifest and sometimes he's unmanifest, but he resides here eternally. He never leaves his place. There's a history of our Roman Uttaracharya. When he was presenting his philosophy, he was driving out Maivad philosophy of India, so he was touring India. Very, very powerful with his philosophy, Vaishnava philosophy. And he came to Jagannath Puri and he said to the Pandas and the king that here you are worshipping according to the Tantriki system. And in the Shastra it is said in Kali Yuga that the Krishna is worshipped through the process of Pancharachiki Vidhi. Pancharachiki Shastra. So the Vedic literature, the process of Vedic, it generally is long, long mantras. That's the process of Vedic worship. Tantriki worship is a lot of rituals, some of the rituals, something like that. And Pancharachiki Vidhi is like a mixture of both. So it says that it's recommended for Kali Yuga, you use the Pancharachiki Vidhi. So you are worshipping Jagannath according to Tantriki Vidhi, so you should follow the tenets of the Shastra. So he was very powerful, so the king said to the Pandit, they're all scared because Pancharachiki Vidhi is quite strict, and we get the Shabara tribe. If you know the history of Lord Jagannath, in Pradyumna's history, the Shabaras, or the Daityas, they were looking after Neel Madhav. So they still that sect, they still serve Jagannath, especially when he's sick, and Rath Yatra. So the Daitya Patis, they serve Lord Jagannath, but they're not Brahmins. So according to the Pancharachiki rules, then they wouldn't be allowed to worship Jagannath. So everyone was scared that Ramanu doesn't come and he's so powerful and he's... So the king told the Pandas to go, okay, come up with your... Somehow or another we got to if you want Jagannath to continue this style of worship, we'll have to come up with some proper evidence how we can convince him. Anyway, they were waiting for the next day came, and they were waiting, everyone was nervous. Ramanuja didn't show up. They couldn't find him anywhere, and the king sent messages, they couldn't find him anywhere. So what had happened? Lord Jagannath appeared in his dream and said, "You let my worship go on as it's been going on. I've been taking that worship for years. Anyway, don't disturb these people here, my devotees in front. I want you to see a special boat of mine, Navadvipa." So then he woke up in the morning, he was in Navadvipa. And Jagannath said, "This is my special abode. Every people that know Sri Krishna, whose vilash expansion is Narayana, the Supreme Lord, that Sri Krishna appears here in Kali Yuga in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he gives what was not given before. He's giving Gaja Prema, which wasn't ever given before. My very special abode." So Ramanuja said, "Now you're saying this, I can understand. I have seen it in the scripture, but it's kind of covered and concealed. But now you're speaking, it's all making sense." So Ramanuja said, this place has descended by my internal potency, by my mercy. This is not a part of the material world. This is a transcendental world. Anybody who thinks this is a material, part of the material world, is devotion will diminish day by day. This is my transcendental abode." And Ramanuja said, "Well, you know, I'm going to go out and preach this bhakti, gaja bhakti to everyone." And Jagannath said, "No, when I come, I'll do that. You simply preach up to Dasaras with your disciples. You preach up to Dasaras. And when I come, I will actually, as Mahaprabhu, I will present this gaja bhakti." So then he manifested the form of Lakshminarayan to Ramanujacharya, who is his worshipful deity. And then he manifested the form of Varanga. And he saw this wonderful form of Varanga. So Mahaprabhu said, "Anyway, you worship me within your heart. When I take birth here and perform my pastimes, you will also be able to come and take part in my pastimes. Anyway, now you go with your disciples and become a Kurma Ketra." So this is what happened. This is also recorded in Jagannath book, the Madali Panji. The book Madali Panji, all the histories of Jagannath. So this instance is recorded there. Also the Ramanujas understand that when it's also written in their books that when Ramanuja, he went to Jagannath Puri and tried to change the system of worship, and Jagannath pushed him out to Kurmaketra. They know he went to Kurmaketra, but actually they don't know in between that. First he went to Mayapur and then to Kurmaketra. So it has an old history. The deities you see there right now, they're self-manifested. And before that, there's another instance when Lord Jagannath actually came from Jagannath Puri to Mayapur. And this was in the maybe the 8th century, something like that. There's one demon, Yavana, who conquered Puri by a ship. And on the plea of being scared, Lord Jagannath said, "Take me away from this place, this demon." This demon's name was Raktabahu, which means he's very fond of drinking Brahman blood. He's a very ferocious demon. So Jagannath told his pandas to take me, he told them which direction to go, so they took him over there. And eventually they came to Mayapur, and Srimantadev said, "Oh, it's so beautiful here, the Ganga is here, let's stay here and worship Lord Jagannath." So they stayed there, and they set up a village, and they worshipped Lord Jagannath. And that village became known as Shodanga. Now it's known as Shodanga. It's about a mile from where our Jagannath temple is in this one. Probably 1 mile towards the east. That village is called Shangangan, and the other one was Shabaragangan. It's named after the Shabara tribe because they made a village to worship Jagannath. They worship Jagannath in secret. Yeah, and they stayed there for about 136 years, worshipping Jagannath. And then one king, Yayati Keshari, came, and he conquered, again, he recaptured Puri, and again, he rebuilt the temple because it had been desecrated. And then they brought Jagannath back from, at that time, was staying in Mayapur in Sri Lankadi, after about 136 years. They brought him back to Jagannath Puri. And this was the time when Adi Shankaracharya was also conquering India with the Advaita philosophy. So King Ayati Keshari invited Shankaracharya to come re-establish the worship of Jagannath. So Shankaracharya established the worship according to the Tantriki system. That's why they worship Jagannath according to the Tantriki system. They haven't changed since that time. Because Shankaracharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, he writes all the Tantric Shastras, so Lord Shiva, that's it. And Shankaracharya, that's a process he gave to worship Lord Jagannath. So even today, now, they're still worshipping Lord Jagannath according to the Tantric system. The deities that we see there now, they were self-manifested. During the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Mahaprabhu had left Mayapur and he went to live in Puri, he spent 24 years in Mayapur, 24 years in Jagannath Puri, about 6 years he was traveling and preaching. But there was one devotee, his name was Jagadish Ganguly. Great Ranga Bhakti, Krishna Bhakti. So during Rath Yatra, rainy season starts, and so all the Bengali devotees would go to Orissa to attend the Rath Yatra festival. And it was a double treat because Mahaprabhu was also there now, so they could see Mahaprabhu, they could see Jagannath. So every year they would, and that time they would walk. This Jagadish Ganguly, in old age, he became blind. So the village people said, "We can't take you anymore to Puri. You're too difficult. The someone's got to hold your hand. And we take all the shortcuts. We go through the different jungles. We know that we don't take the main road. We take the shortcuts. It's all rough ground and things like that. So it would be impossible to take you. So you have to stay here." So anyway, Jagadish Ganguly, he contemplated that, well, not worth living. I can't go to Puri, I can't see Mahaprabhu anymore. Tomorrow when I take my bath in Ganga, I won't come back. So, that night Jagannath appeared in his dream and said, "You're my devotee, you've given everything to me, but your body belongs to me also, why you can't commit suicide?" He said, "Anyway, tomorrow when you take your bath, a piece of wood will come down and touch your body." He said, "You can take that wood to this particular village, and you ask the carpenter to make my tomb, you can worship me here." So that all came true. And they took to this village, and they asked for this carpenter. This carpenter had leprosy. He said, "How can I perform with the Lord, because my hands were infused with blood and sores on my body? It would be offensive." So he refused to do it, so they went to other carpenters, and some agreed to do it, but every time they hit the chisel, the hammer would break. They get a new hammer, they hit the chisel, would break, they get another. If just everything broke, and they said, Jagannath, he wants his devotee to make a point. So they went back, you know, if you claim to be a devotee, then you should follow Jagannath's instruction. He wants you to make the deity. So then he agreed to make it, and he made the deity. And when he was finished, his leprosy left his body, and Jagadish's eyes became open, so he could see the wonderful form of Lord Jagannath. So that's the original Jagannath that's still there now. This was 500 years ago. And then Jagannath appeared and said, There's a big meeting tree here that you might make my brother Balaram and sister Subhadra's with. So those three deities then. So they're considered self-manifested because they've appeared by the desire of the Lord. There's also another instance of his appearance there. And Lord Shiva was there. This was also during the time of Mahaprabhu. Lord Shiva was taking his bath at Shiva Ghat. Because when Krishna appears, well, the devas also come to assist him. Lord Shiva has his Ghat there at the bank of the Ganga. So he was taking his bath in the Ganga and a piece of wood came floating up. He could understand this is the vibration from this wood. This is Brahman. This is not an ordinary piece of wood. So he pulled that Brahman, Daru Brahman, wooden Brahman, on the bank. See what happened in Puri, that Jagannath said to the pandas that, you know, during the time of Indra, it was really nice. He said, now all my bhaktas are in Navadvip. I want to go to Navadvip. You take me to Navadvip. Pandas said, we can take you to Navadvip. But Jagannath, you live here, you have to stay. But Jagannath said, if you don't take me, I'll go by myself. So he jumped into the ocean, come up the Bay of Bengal and floated up the Ganga. And then he came to Shiva Ghat. I guess by then all the paint had come off and everything. Anyway, Shiva pulled a piece of wood. Lois. And put it down. Then he took it to, Parvati Devi came. She said, my dear husband, I had an astonishing dream. And Lord Jagannath said he's going to come to your Ghat. He said he's already here. Look. So they took him to Kolavacha Sridhar's house, which is half a mile from Jagannath Temple. And they put him then at that time Mahaprabhu came and Nityananda and all the devotees, Harinam Sankirtan. And as soon as Mahaprabhu arrived, oh, Jagannath is here, Hari Bol, Jagannath. And they succumbed away to Jagannath. I can't find that book I was searching for, but it was in the Bhagavad Gita library. One of the Jagannath Pujaris was there, and they showed him that book. I sent him back to Kelly, but we could never find it again. But anyway, these are histories of how Lord Jagannath, as Nityananda prophesied, he always remains here, that place is not different. He becomes manifest sometimes and sometimes unmanifest. So then he was manifested. So, as we know from the Navadvipa Mahatmya, after Mahaprabhu finished his pastime, the Ganga comes and floods the area. So everyone left that land. So although Jagannath is it's about the highest land around there, it's pretty high. But still the flooding was coming there. So everybody was leaving. The deities were left there. No one was taking care of the deity because that whole family, Jagadish Gangoli's family, after Jagadish left, they weren't much interested in doing the worship and they didn't maintain it nicely. And Lord Jagannath, he said to the pujari in the dream that there's going to be an epidemic, some big epidemic is coming, cholera or something, a deadly epidemic is coming. You should tell everyone to leave the village. So in the morning he told everyone, and everybody, all the village people left, but the family, Jagadish's family never left. It's just a dream, it may be true, maybe not. But anyway, that epidemic, cholera or something, and it wiped the whole family out. There was all lost. So then we understand that flooding was there for 100 years, and then Ganga was started moving for 300 years. So everything had kind of got lost, and Jagannath Temple was there. Still, it was all broken down and things like that. And about 60 years ago, another person moved there, Pratik Chatterjee, who eventually gave us that, the deity service of Jagannath and the property of Lord Jagannath. But he wasn't a bhakta actually, he was a shakta, but he was a brahmin, he was ordered from Shalagram. And he knew deities were there, but he didn't take much interest, and they were all covered in jungle and things like that. And anyway, so eventually a little bit of worship was started there, it was very meager. And this Prashant Chatterjee, he had 6 daughters, he had no sons to take over the worship. So eventually he gave them that service to ISKCON to maintain those deities. Lord Jagannath. There were many, many stories about those deities, even before we took over. Just like Europe, I think 1971 was the Bangladesh-Indian War, was it? was going on. So, and there were kind of riots flaring up in India. And, of course, that village was mostly Mohammedan village. So, Pratik Chatterjee, he left that village with his family because he had six daughters and no sons. So he left and he went to a Hindu village. And then the chief of the Muslim village came to see him. He said, please come back to your place. And he said, it's kind of really difficult. You know, at any moment may flare up. You know, now we're friends, we're village friends, but at any moment anything can flare up like that. And he said, no, please come back. He said, we're hearing sounds coming from that temple. That, why nobody's bringing us food? Why there's no water? Why nobody's coming to give us any food? So he said, please come back and we will we'll give you 24-hour guard ourselves. We will guard you and the deities, we promise. Nothing will happen. So then he came back and the Muslim chief and his they gave guard for that whole family during the whole period. Another time, there was a devotee. He was see that Jagannath Mandir. You've been there. It's all mango orchards and jackfruit orchards and lychee. So at night time, they sit up in the trees to guard the trees, so nobody comes to steal the fruits. And the snakes are at night, so they sit up in the trees. And anyway, he's sitting up there in the middle of the night, and then he sees someone's coming on the path, a gentleman. This is not a local villager, if you can tell by the dress. Hey, who are you? You know, where are you going? He said, he didn't say anything, just walked. And he went to where the Jagannath went into the Jagannath Mandir. Then he heard a light came on. And then he heard a bell ringing. He was smelling some incense. And then the whole kirtan started up. And the roaring kirtan was going for some time. It's middle of the night. And then suddenly it all went quiet and the lights went off. And he said he didn't see anything else. So they were saying that they suspected that no one was worshipping them. They're probably the devas or someone like that were coming in. Performing the worship. And one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, Sannyasi, Bhakti Gazamdo Maharaj, she told me, or he told us that he was there in the temple. At that time it was a private temple. And he was a pujari at the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu since he was a little boy. So he knew all the rules and regulations. Anyway, the man came from the house carrying a plate of fruits on it. It wasn't covered or anything like that. And it was this, Damodar Maharaj said, I saw that. He was carrying a plate with no covering in it. It says one should not see that bowl, especially lower animals that you're going to offer. Or others shouldn't see it, they may like to eat it. But he wasn't covered, he just carried the plate like that, and the kids were around, and dogs were around. And then he went into the old temple and opened the door, and something fell down onto the plate. Dandamara said, I noticed it because I was a pujari. I didn't say anything because it's a private temple. And then he said, after some time, some little old lady come up, widowed lady, white cloth. He said, she wasn't there before, I was the only one who was there. And she came up to the pujari and she said, why did you bring that bowl for Lord Jagannath without putting the cover on it? Didn't you see the dogs were looking and things like that? And when you went in the temple, you opened and something fell down. Why you were serving out Jagannath at night? Why aren't you careful? She was chastising. Damodar Maharaj said, he was completely amazed. He said, no one was around at that time. He said, I was the only one there. He said, she knew what was going on. He said, how careful we have to be with the dumb buses. You're just like a little old lady.
that lady, she actually knew what was going on, and came and saved her. He said, be very careful when you're dealing with the town buses.
So when we took the temple over, the sale was given by Chatterjee Mahashay, and so there was no facility there for us. So when we were cooking in Mayapur for Radha Madhava, we would make a tiffin. And then Pujari would get on the bicycle and he'd go to Jagannath Mandir, and then he said we'd make a plate for Jagannath. At least once a day we'd offer a meal. He wasn't getting any cooked meals at that time. We'd offer some rice at least once a day until we get facility and we can stay there and we can. So we started to make this rice bog offering for a couple of days. And then Tathagata Maharaj, he said this land is not ours yet. It's still some litigation is going on. So wait until everything is legal and cleared and we've got the land. Then we'll start puja, because if we start and we may have to stop again, it won't be nice for Jagannath. So long he's been without, we stop. So we'll wait until the land is all legalized. And we said, okay, Maharaj, okay, we'll. We won't drink. But he didn't know we'd already been making offering for a couple of days. Rice bog offering. So then we stopped. We didn't make the offering. But that night, Pujari had a dream. And he went into the temple of Jagannath and there was no deities there. And then he saw Jagannath and Balaram. They were running across the fields. And he was calling, Jagannath, Balaram, come back. They said, no, we're not going back down. We're going down to Radha Madhava's temple. They got some nice prasadam. They're not going to say anything. You can meet with Radha Madhava. Mashramiki. And another time, when we told Jagataka Maharaj, I didn't know you already started. Just immediately continue. So then we would do it every day until we got facility and we could actually stay there. Then we built a new temple for Jagannath. Another time, the devotee went and so we opened the tiffin, put the rice and sabji and everything there. He forgot to bring the tulsi leaves. But, oh, Krishna, he doesn't like to accept anything without tulsi. And there was a tree, there was a tulsi tree was in the house nearby. But he thought, if I go to that tree, and anything can happen here, because, you know, the kids were playing around and the door was broken down and things. Someone may come and spoil the offering, or maybe even both or something. So he prayed to Jagannath, I'm sorry I forgot the toast to leave. Anyway, you kindly accept the boga. So he chanted the mantras and he come out. And then after he went back into the yagi. When he went to move the plate, there was a big branch of tulsi was stuck in the rice. Jagannath Swami Ki. I got some of that tulsi. Not sure. Hand picked by Jagannath. Or maybe he's the Buddha's picking for him. But anyway, it was stuck right in the middle of the rice. Another time was Ratyatra, and we were distributing some Mahaprasad. We didn't have Ratyatra festival at that time, but we were distributing Prasadam from a little plate. And one boy came in, he said, give some prasad. Okay, give some to my friend outside. So his friend, he was a rickshaw driver, his friend also a rickshaw driver, but his friend was Muslim. And he was a Hindu. So he said, here, take prasad of Jagannath. So the Muslim rickshaw driver said, why you call prasadam? How can it be prasadam? He said, you have a wooden deity here. According to our religion, then God, how can God have a form, a material form? So we don't. How we can become prasadam if it's just a wooden idol? Oh, I don't care. I don't accept this prasadam. He put it on the ground. Well, that night Lord Balaram came to visit him, and he started to strangle him. Boy was crying, please have mercy, please have mercy, please have mercy.
Balaram said, "Mercy, mercy. You don't know what mercy is? I'll show you what mercy is. You another body." He said, "You worship my brother by honoring his Mahaprasadam. This is how you worship my brother. In Vrindavan you worship Krishna by taking the dust. In Mayapur you worship the Lord by chanting the holy names. In Puri you worship Lord Jagannath by honoring his Mahaprasadam. This is the process of honoring my brother's prasad. You had his mercy and you threw it on the ground. I will kill you, I will kill you, I will kill you." And Supadra was there and she was laughing. "Yes, kill him, kill him." Just from Kshatriyas, right? And Gorka, that leader is Gorka, their Kshatriya spirit is there. And then Lord Jagannath said, no, don't kill him, don't kill him. So he woke up, all of his throat was red, and he had to drink so much water. So then he went to the temple of Jagannath and he said to Pujari, "You can offer this to Jagannath." He gave him some paisa and some flowers and sweet and incense. And you can offer to Jagannath. And Pujari said, "You're a Muslim boy, you're not usually coming and worshiping Jagannath. Why are you coming?" So then he told him what had happened. And he said, "Now you have a little bit of Mahaprasad. I want to respect Lord Jagannath Mahaprasad, please." Yeah. Jagannath Mahaprasad. Jagannath Swami Ki.
Yeah.
There was one Pujari, his name is Jai Satchinanda. He came to America for some time. Now we went back to his house in the village. Anyway, he was a fantastic kirtan. He just loved to do kirtan. And I think it's because of that Jagannath favored him. He appeared to him so many times. I don't know, he was just a really simple boy, really boy. Nice Pujari, but he just loved to do kirtan. Beautiful, sweet boy. And I think that was what attracted Jagannath to manifest so many times before me. Anyway, one of the times was there's small deities, they also Jagannath, and we have beds for those deities. They lie down in the bed at night. So he used to carry the deity. He used to pick the deity like this with two hands and carry him to the bed. So in the dream, Lord Jagannath said, "Why are you carrying me like that?" He said, "You stick these two fingers on my eyes, on my eyes." Like Moochie fingers. He won't do that anymore. So then he would carry Jagannath north. But after some time, he forgot again. And then this wasn't a dream. This is for real. So he's carrying, he forgot, and had his fingers on it. And Jagannath said, "I told you not to use these two fingers." He put Jagannath down. Personally, Jagannath said, when he told me the story, I said, "How can Jagannath say that? That I told you not to touch me with these two fingers, because Jagannath doesn't have fingers." He said, "He does. He does. He does have fingers. I saw. He does." The idea is Krishna. When he manifests himself, he says Krishna. And he said, "Yes, he has fingers on himself." Another time he was very, really sick. And he did the Raj Bhog offering and put Jagannath to sleep. And he said to the Chokidar that, "I'm so sick, I'm so weak, I'm going to take rest now. You don't wake me up. At 4 o'clock I cannot wake up. I just need to take a long rest to catch up. I'm so weak and everything like that. So don't call me. I'm not going to wake Jagannath at 4 o'clock. Nobody's coming back to the temple anyway." So then he went to sleep, and then Lord Jagannath appeared to him in the dream and said, "Why are you not going to come and wake us up?" "So I'm so weak, I'm so tired. So I got fever so many days." Jagannath said, "Well, I see you're still eating prasadam and you're doing kirtan. You can do that, why you can't wake me up?" But then, you know, sometimes the gods would say, oh, it's very late, you should get up and do worship. So, okay, then he got up. And he went into the deity room. And Lord Jagannath spoke to him. And he said that other pujari is helping. Sometimes he's not very careful. He said, when he's dressing me, he sticks pins in my body. He said, look at my arm. So he lifted up Jagannath's child and he had a spot of blood on his hand. Jagannath Swami Ki.
Yeah.
Rakima Tuminayi Shakshat Pujandanandana. The Brahmana said to Gopal, you're not a statue, you are directly the son of Nanda Maharaj. One time there was a sannyasi, he left somewhere, he had some Shalagram Shilas and Govardhan Shilas, and he said, can you leave here in Jagannath Temple? When I come back, I can. But anyway, at least for now in Jagannath Temple. So, yeah, I think there's 3 or 4 Shalagrams and 1 Govardhan Shila. So after a couple of days, Pujari had a dream, and Lord Jagannath came in the dream, and he said that ever since his Giriraj has been here, he's eating all of the prasadam. He said he doesn't wait for the pujari to even offer it. As soon as he brings it, he starts to eat it. He said, he's very quick, and he takes all the sweets first. But you have to do something about this, Giriraj. Of course. It's a sensitive point. The man's stomach is very sensitive, and Jagannath is famous for his chapon bhog, and Giriraj is famous for his anukut. Their big feast. So Jagannath here, he made that complaint. So we asked Jagannath Maharaj, what shall we do? He said, well, we have to make another plate for Giriraj, a separate plate. Now he gets his own plate every day. After that, no more complaints. But apparently that also happened in, I think, Shakshi Gopal in Jagannath Puri, one king. He bought the deity there. Exactly the same thing happened. He bought the Jagannath temple. And he's... Is it Shakshi Gopal?
No, actually, King Purushottam. He was the king of Puri. Then after he conquered Kanchi, he brought Shakshi Gopal deity and then Radhakant deity and then Ganesh deity. And he installed actually Radhakant Murthy, Pratima inside Jagannath temple. And then Jagannath came to the kings in a dream and he told that this Radhakant deity is taking, you know, all of my nice items from a plate. So remove him, yeah. And then king ordered to install a Radhakant deity in Pandit Kashi Mishra's house, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed. Even now, there is a small mutt and Radhakant mutt nearby the temple.
Yeah, same story. When they were building the temple there, then every day that mystery, the workman, he would take home a piece of marble. He would hide it and take home a piece. And Jagannath appeared in the dream and said, why are you taking my brother's temple materials, mate? If you don't return it tomorrow, I'm going to wipe you out and your whole family will be wiped out. And they say, come back with a bullet cart with all these pieces of... Jagannath Swami Ki.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions?
curiosity, he said, when the Panchakatva were brought to Mayapur, we had to break the walls and things. So, how are we going to move them to Kiyomi?
Yeah, we're going to have to break them again. It's the only way to get them out of it. Can we hear the honest story of Balaram telling you? Can we hear this? Your honest story that Balaram was telling you and you were in a beach, maybe it was reality, but I don't know if it was Balaram who did it. But what had happened was after Shtam Purnima, then we could attract the Angaraga of Jagannathi through painting and repairing. That's the official time. Nobody sees Jagannath for 2 weeks while that restoration work is going on. So, how they make these deities, they're making a new deity this year. This another colony, if you go to Puri, this is the tithi when they make the this Jagannath deity, when this Purushottama Adhikama falls on the Amavasya of that time, then they make a new deity. So they make the deity, they carve from wood quite roughly, then they put maki, some mud, clay, and then they have very fine cloth and they kind of bind it around. Actually, they put 7 coverings on Jagannath, representing the body with skin, mucus, fire, there, same things like that. And different ingredients to represent the different elements of the body. And then it comes quite smooth. Anyway, it was made in a similar process, but the outside, the last layer and painted layer, that's considered the skin. So that had come away from the wooden, because it's very old, it's 500 years old, and it had separated, so it was a bit loose on its face, so I had to repair it, and I had to put some glue in, so I would make a little, I made three little cuts to put, so I could inject the glue inside, and then make it smooth again, and then polish it and repaint it. So it looked okay. I did that. I'm not saying that this is the reason why, but but anyway, that night I was running with another devotee, and there was some kind of kunda, but it was very dark, and I went running down to this kund, and then I couldn't see anything, and then all of a sudden, I found I was laying on the floor, and the blood was running, from my face, and I thought, what happened? I thought maybe, you know, some thief has come in and hit me with a bamboo. I was waiting for the second whack. I thought maybe some thief has come and beat me or something, but nothing happened, and then I was on the floor, so I rolled off the bed. It wasn't so high, it was only about, but somehow now I had these cuts here. And anyway, I put three or four stitches, somewhere okay. Stitched all up. And a bit later in the morning, I was walking behind the house, and then there was something caught my, made a noise, someone was making a noise, and I turned around. No, I was just thinking as I was walking, I got 2 cuts. Actually, Balaram had 3 cuts, but I got 2 cuts. one here. I got 2 cuts. And then this sound, it distracted me, and I turned around, I was walking, and seeing what that sound was, I walked right into a jackfruit, which was hanging up. Which jackfruit had got those spikes sticking out. Made another cut there. Right at that time, I think I only got 2 cuts, and I turned around, 3 cuts with it. Anyway, I'm not saying it was Jagannath, but that's what happened. Another year I was there, because I do that service every year, the younger I put repainting them, and I stayed there the whole time. So I was sleeping in the camera. And my body was burning hot. Maybe we paint some upright here or something. I was trying to think, no, we do the same thing every year. First thing we do, we lay Jagannath down and we paint the underneath. No, we do the same thing every year. I haven't done anything different. But anyway, I eventually had to go and put water in my body to cool down. And another pujari was up. He said it's too much. It's too much. Alive the atmosphere, he couldn't sleep. Anyway, in the morning, the guard told us, he said that he heard noise in the temple, so he went to the, so he went to the temple, and he was hearing this noise coming from the temple. It sounded like someone had a very high fever or something. Because Jagannath catches fever that time. And so he was scared. He went around the other side and he heard the same coming from the other window. He said, I was very, very scared. I couldn't understand. So I ran out and I locked the gate. But then he told us that it sounded like, the sound was like someone had like shivering and then high fever. Right? Jagannath Swamiki?
Yeah.
Another time there was the president was there. He said he was there all alone, and it was right at that time, and he had come from the deity room. Someone sneezed, he's not alive. Was that? And the one in the deity room said, I hear anything? Then again he heard.
Yeah.